Fan Run Radio podcasters, many of you have been asking for a way to support the station if you live out of state and can't support our sponsors, and now there's a way. Just go to shopfanrun.com and buy a shirt, or two, or ten, and know that you're supporting the station that does our best to support you. Shopfanrun.com.
About the Kingsguard?
You're listening to Talk Sports.
Yeah, I heard Kingsguard. What were you saying about it?
Well, I mean, do you want the spoiler, or...
No.
Yeah.
No spoiler.
Airing every day from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Said I watched some wrestling... I watched a couple episodes of Game of Thrones. I was talking about the Kingsguard, and...
I don't know, I heard Kingsguard, and it made me think of Game of Thrones. What were you talking about?
When Jon Snow died.
Ah! Stop!
On 1340 WKGN.
Every time you're not paying attention, I come back with a Game of Thrones spoiler.
What kind of person spoils things for people who are in the middle of a season? It's like the most inhumane thing you can do as a person.
As a radio professional, the rudest thing you can do is not pay attention.
You said Kingsguard!
Yes, Kingsguard, Amon Shumpert.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed the Sacramento Kings.
Hour two coming at you from the Fan Run Studios. It's raining right now, but spring's still here. Flowers. I mowed the grass yesterday. Good thing I mowed the grass yesterday, Cody, because it was about to start growing really crazy. After all this rain, but this spring, this summer, if you are looking to buy or sell your home, do what I did. Trust the McKinney team with Keller Williams. Zillow, Knoxville.com, 865-548-8267. Travis and Emily McKinney have one simple philosophy. The clients come first. They want to make sure that you're happy. They want to do what's best for you, even after you close on your home. Cody McClure, Hour 2 Headlines, Collision Course, right now.
Thanks, John.
You're welcome.
Mike Bibby is not a rapist.
Oh, that's good. Did we talk about Mike Bibby's case he was facing?
Well, we're talking about it now. The former NBA player and Shadow Mountain High School basketball coach Mike Bibby likely will not face charges following an allegation of sexual abuse from a Shadow Mountain High School teacher.
It got him fired, right? Or you're suspended? Like he was coaching a high school basketball team, and I think they suspended him or like relieved him of his duties. Is he get to go back to coaching?
He was barred from his volunteer position coaching at Shadow Mountain after abuse claims became public. In a restraining order served to him on February 25th, the teacher claimed that in February, Bibby lifted her by the waist and pulled her into his car on school grounds, rubbing his genitals against her and groping her until she was able to get away.
Yeah.
Pretty graphic.
I mean, the story was graphic.
So anyway, police did not find any probable cause to recommend charges against anyone in the case. Bibby's attorney said Bibby had not planned to return to coaching next season, but he has been approached by several universities.
Okay.
He said the abuse claim for Bibby has been like a bomb bursting in his head. So apparently they found nothing against Mike Bibby, but he will not be back at this school regardless. Probably best to just stay away, you know. Something like that. It was just a volunteer position anyway.
Well, I would say it was a volunteer because he doesn't need the money. But he was the head coach.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm just saying, like, you go through something like that at a school, probably best to just move on.
Oh, yeah, but it stinks for him because I believe they were a good basketball team.
Yeah, they won 5 state titles in his 6 years.
That's what I was going to say. Like, it sucks for the kids, it sucks for the school, and it sucks for Mike Bibby because when I was reading about it, yeah. So they won 5 of their 6 state championships?
Yeah, they had just won 4 in a row.
Now, obviously, if Mike Bibby did something bad, I don't think Mike Bibby's the victim here, but just from what we've gathered and the headline that I was presented was Mike Bibby is exonerated. Sucks for Mike Bibby. It sucks for the kids that were playing basketball under Mike Bibby.
Yeah.
Getting more headlines?
Yeah, I got a few. John Gruden has a message for Mike Mayock, the Oakland Raiders GM, as we approach the NFL draft. Don't mess it up, Gruden says.
That's good. That's good advice.
Yep, the Raiders have a lot of draft capital. Gruden said, don't mess it up, dude. That's what he told Mayock. I took a lot of slings to get you 3 first-round picks. Indeed, Gruden still taking flack for last fall's trades of all-pro edge rusher Khalil Mack and Pro Bowl receiver Amari Cooper that netted Oakland first-round picks from the Bears and Cowboys to go with their own at number four.
Yeah, they got a lot of first-round picks. A lot of pressure in not messing this up.
The Raiders are only the fourth team in the last 30 years to enter draft day with three first-rounders.
Really?
Yeah. First since the, can you guess?
No.
The 2001.
No clue.
St. Louis.
Cardinals?
Rams. You were close.
Where are the selections again?
Where are they?
Yeah, like what numbers?
Number 24, number 27, and their own pick is at number 4.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wonder if you trade up, but I don't guess you need to trade up. You just need good players, right? You just need as many good players as you can get.
I mean, is it really worth it to give up Khalil Mack for a guy at number 24?
They said they didn't have any money. They couldn't pay him.
I know.
Like, they said they literally didn't have the cash to pay him.
Could they not have come up with it?
You would think. You would think you'd be able to, like,
find it somewhere.
I mean, like, I don't know if it's the same thing. Like, I know it's not like a publicly traded company or whatever, but I know you could sell some percentages and maybe it would have been worth it. But, like, Vince McMahon cashed out like $272 million of his WWE stock to make sure he had enough money to run this XFL. Like, Vince McMahon's not going to go out like the AAF, at least in his mind. He's like, hey, I got the money. I don't need investors. I don't need this or that. I'm a billionaire. Let me sell some of my stocks and get $272 million cash. That way I can fund this thing. You would think Mark Davis could say, hey, here's 10% of the Raiders.
Well, Vince has got a hell of a lot more money than Mark Davis.
Well, I know he does, but the Raiders are, you know, if the Raiders hit the open market, they're worth $3 or $4 billion.
You would think. I mean, can they not do something? You'd think Mark Davis could have taken the hot dog money or something. I mean, find a way to pay Khalil Mack. Just get rid of Derek Carr, you know?
Yeah, just maybe that's it.
Man. What is Vince's deal, by the way? Vince could just buy an NFL team if he wanted to.
I don't think he could.
You don't think he could?
No. I don't think he can buy an NFL team.
Why?
NFL teams are expensive, man.
Well, maybe not buy a team. I mean, Vince could be like Mark Davis, couldn't he? I mean, if Mark Davis has a team, I mean, he inherited it.
But. Yeah, Mark Davis couldn't buy the team now, like if it came open now.
You don't think Vince could afford one, though, if he wanted an NFL team?
I mean, the Los Angeles Clippers sold for $2 billion, right? And that was 5 years ago.
The Haslams bought the Browns for $1 billion.
That was it?
That was it. Single billion. And it was $700 million, like, down payment up front or whatever.
Okay.
Vince could probably do it then.
He'd have to sell out all of his stock, though, of WWE. Like, he would have to, like, remove himself from WWE, basically.
Says Vince is only worth $3.4 billion.
So, like, he could, I guess, but he would, like I said, he would have to cash out almost all of his stock and use a lot of his money towards it. But I guess he could.
I mean, I thought the Raiders
would be worth more. I'm kind of surprised that the Browns only sold for $1 billion, to be honest, because, like I said, the Clippers sold for $2 billion. I get they're in the L.A. market, but Oakland's kind of, sort of, and a bigger brand.
Yeah. Than what?
Than the Clippers.
Yeah. Well, Vince is just, I don't know, he's always trying to dabble in football.
I think this will run the show. Then.
Yeah. It's an ego thing with Vince.
I wonder if they'd even let him buy a team.
I don't know.
Like the NFL, like it was.
I mean, he couldn't afford the Cowboys or the Steelers or somebody like that.
No, maybe he could afford the Raiders. Maybe he could afford the Jags. The Raiders. I don't know, they got stinky rich too. Shad Khan's got a lot of money.
Is he ever going to take him to London?
I don't know. You got any more headlines?
Yeah. The Cavs are not, they are not bringing back
Larry Drew
next year. The Cavs' next coach will inherit a better situation, though.
Yeah, Colin Sexton quietly became a really good rookie. He had a terrible first half of the season. To the point where the veterans on the Cleveland Cavs are saying they don't even think Colin Sexton knows how to play basketball.
Oh, come on.
That's what they said. Like, I mean, obviously he knows how to score, but like he doesn't understand the ins and outs of basketball. Like, his basketball IQ is non-existent. But the second half of the season, he was pretty good. Really good, actually. Kevin Love's healthy. Now his extension kicks in, and he's going to be on the hook for big money. Maybe they try to trade him in the offseason. I don't know, but, I mean, yeah, the situation's going to be a little better. They'll have a top – should have a top five pick going with it as well. I still don't know who they're going to hire, though. But, like I said, if I'm Tom Izzo, I'll really flirt hard with that job. Because if I'm Tom Izzo, I want more money than Rick Barnes, right? Like, Rick Barnes is currently the third highest paid coach in the country. If I'm Tom Izzo and I'm coming off of a Final Four, I flirted with Cleveland once, I flirt hard again this time and make them give me a raise at Michigan State. Like, you see, do you see what Frank Martin's doing?
At South Carolina?
Well, yeah, Frank Martin's at South Carolina, but have you seen the report about him?
No.
Apparently he's interested and close to a front runner for the Cincinnati basketball job.
Why?
Good question. Appropriate question. No one knows why outside of maybe he just wants a raise from South Carolina. And if I'm South Carolina, I'm like, really? You're going to go to Cincinnati? Go for it. I'll call your bluff. Go.
See you, Frank.
Now, Cincinnati might be a better basketball school than South Carolina. I mean, they really might be.
He did get them to a Final Four, though.
Yeah, but I mean, they've stunk since then.
Sure. I feel like
Cincinnati might be a better basketball job than South Carolina. I don't know. Maybe Frank Martin should take that job. It just seems to me like he's playing like chicken with South Carolina.
It is weird that they got to the Final Four.
It is.
They beat Duke. Didn't they basically have a home game against Duke that year that they made the Final Four?
In Greenville. I mean, it was like an hour and a half from campus or something like that.
2 years ago? Of course, that would be fairly close to Duke, too.
This is going to be awesome. We just pay Rick Barnes a little bit, and then all the middle-level coaches want to raise and then get out of the SEC.
If I was another coach in the country and I saw what Rick Barnes got paid, I'm like, hey, man, like, come on. Good for me. I'm happy for Rick. Cash out, young man. Or old man. At the very least, if I'm Frank Martin, I want some more money and I want a bunch of free stuff. Like, hey, they offered Rick Barnes a bunch of free stuff.
Forrest Gregg has died.
I don't know who Forrest Gregg is. But RIP, rest in peace.
Forrest Gregg earned the nickname Iron Man for playing in 188 consecutive NFL games during his Hall of Fame career.
That's pretty damn good.
He died today in Colorado Springs at 85.
Good for him.
The former offensive lineman was a 7-time All-Pro and 9-time Pro Bowler. Played in 15 years with the
Green Bay Packers.
I get it right? Packers.
Let's go.
From 56 to 71. I'm sure Ben knows who this guy is as a Packers fan.
Ben was very disappointed that I said I didn't know who it was.
That's why I laughed out loud whenever John said he didn't know who it was. I was
like, yeah.
Not to be confused.
Forrest.
Right, yeah. Not to be confused with the UFC fighter Forrest Griffin. This is a different guy.
Okay.
Yeah. Vince Lombardi once called Forrest the best player he ever coached.
I feel bad for not knowing who he is.
Yeah.
He's an offensive lineman. So that's kind of...
I know.
That's kind of part of the deal.
I know. But, I mean, best player Vince Lombardi ever coached? That seems like a pretty big title to hold.
That's what Vince Lombardi once said.
You gave me a little bit of storyline talk? You want to power rank the best Game of Thrones scenes next?
I thought you'd never ask.
We'll do that next. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. A bit appropriate to talk about my power rankings, Ben, but it's your birthday, so I'm going to let it slide today. I'm going to let it slide today. We are power ranking the best scenes of Game of Thrones. As you prepare that music, Cody, would you like to lay some disclaimers out? Because every time we go to do a rankings, you get nervous. And you start asking me 50 million questions as if I have
the answers. I'll be honest with you. I think I'm more nervous about these than any power rankings we've ever done. There are way too many moments. I feel like we should do a top 10.
Nope. Top 5?
I know power rankings cuts off at 5.
Nope.
But
top 5. Top 5. Man, that way you can have everyone yell at you for not including your number 6 and number 7 on the list.
It's Game of Thrones, though.
Top 5, you only get 5 because, you know, anybody can do a top 10 list. You have to make tough decisions. This is a life lesson, son. Make tough decisions.
The thing is, with all these moments from the show, we're only doing 5, we're both going to get absolutely murdered.
I've been getting murdered every time I do my rankings.
You can split the difference and go MySpace top eight.
Nope. We cannot. This is not our MySpace top eight. This is our power rankings of the best scenes. Make a decision. Be a man. Be a man.
Got to do what you got to do, I guess, right?
I'm already prepared for all the questions of everyone asking me, is so-and-so included? I'm like, can you read? It's right there. You obviously didn't listen to the radio show for the defense or the explanation, but can you at least read? I know you can't hear, but can you read? Are you ready?
No.
How do you not have your list ready? We've been talking about this for 2 weeks.
I've got 25 things ready. There's so many damn moments.
How do you not have your list ready? We've been talking about this for 2 weeks.
I guess it is ready. I guess.
Well, is it or is it not?
I guess it's
do
ready.
Do I need to keep screaming at you to give you more time to get the list ready?
I'd prefer
that way
you
there's
to.
No dead air, but I'm not really angry at you. I'm just acting like I'm angry at you to give you time to write. I mean, my God, we've talked about this for 2 weeks. Maybe 3 weeks. Even yesterday, I texted you. I said, hey, don't forget, we're doing best scenes. I said, think of some other things to power
hey,
in, too.
Buddy, I didn't forget. I've been sorting through this since Monday, trying to figure this out.
Well, the deadline's here, buddy.
Well, I'm ready then,
the
I guess.
The deadline's here. I can't rely on you to do anything.
I guess I'm ready.
Ben Lee, hit the music. I've got the power. The power lies on this side, yeah.
Rankings.
Go, go, power.
Rankings.
Go, go, power.
Rankings.
I need more than power.
Rankings.
All right. As we come out of here, very vulnerable to give you our top five scenes, I hope you get lit up. I hope you get lit up for all the times you pile on my rankings. I hope you have the worst top five ever.
You may proceed.
Number five, the Battle of the Blackwater. And not just the battle. Sure, you got Tyrion. Remember, spoilers here. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler!
I guess we still got to do that.
No, I mean, sort of, kind of. But if you didn't have any synapses firing off in your brain warning you that they're about to spoil the show by talking about the best scenes, then you kind of deserve
you're not
what
gonna
you get
the show anyway,
and you kind of deserve what you get.
Number five is the Battle of the Blackwater. You see Tyrion become a leader for the first time. I think that's the first time you really fall in love with Tyrion, is the Battle of the Blackwater and how he saves his men. You see Joffrey being a coward, no big surprise. It's the first big battle of the show. You see Wildfire for the first time. And not only that, but behind the scenes of the battle, while the battle's not going on, you have this unbelievable dialogue going on with Cersei and Sansa, which is one of my favorite foreshadowing moments of the whole show. That whole episode, I believe it's season two, is that episode eight? Battle of the Blackwater?
Season two, episode eight, yeah.
Very,
one of the
very
five best
good
episodes.
Yeah,
of the show.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. Blackwater's number five. Number four for me, when Tyrion kills Tywin. Thank God for Jaime letting Tyrion out of his cell. Tyrion, it's sad. He has to kill Shay too. His lover, he has
sad
to
that
choke
very
her. Satisfying. It had to happen.
It was number four on my top five.
It had to happen.
She was no longer his lover.
Right.
She was a whore.
My lion. My lion.
Yeah, your lion was
old
man Tywin.
She thought old Tywin was coming, and Tyrion comes in, and he strangles her. And, man, when he looks up at that crossbow, and then he goes and finds Tywin on the John. Hello, Tyrion. And Tyrion just shoots his father twice with the crossbow.
Spoiler
alert. And Tywin's like, Tywin thinks he's going to work his way out of it. That's the best part, because Tywin's such a genius, and he thinks he's going to get out of it. And Tyrion's like, nope. And Tywin says, you're not my son. And Tyrion goes, I am your son. Boom. Just right in the heart. So when Tyrion kills Tywin with the crossbows, number four. Number three for me, the loot train battle. And I still don't understand why you hate the loot train battle.
I hate the loot train battle.
The loot train battle is to me, the best battle of the show.
Oh, God.
It's the best battle of the show. Because it's when Dany finally makes a statement.
But there was no...
It's Dany's biggest moment in the show.
There were no stakes.
Yes, there were. She was losing. She was losing the war.
What was the result? All the gold still got to Cersei.
Cersei got the gold.
Jaime and Bronn survived. Everyone lived. But there were no stakes. Nothing happened. It was just a big dumb battle scene.
She burned a great portion of the Lannister army.
Cool. And nothing happened.
And she burned all their wagons. She burned a couple of the and scorpions.
And all the gold still got there.
Well, the gold was already there before she attacked them.
Well, that's the point, is nothing happened. It was just a big, dumb battle scene.
It was Dany making a statement. It's the first time you see Dany riding in on a dragon with the Dothraki, with everybody there.
Which, by the way,
for battle.
Not to, you know, really go on another tangent, but I still don't understand how we're supposed to be rooting for Dany as she is riding in and burning people. Like, I don't understand how that makes her the good guy here that we're supposed to be rooting
for. The loot train battle is badass, and you're not going to ruin my power rankings.
I'm not ruining it. Just go.
Number two, the Red Wedding. I got to include the Red Wedding as just partly out of respect, but I was like everyone else the first time I watched it. It was completely shocking. Like, I didn't see it coming. Even though I knew there was something called the Red Wedding, it when you first see the Red Wedding, it does hit you in a certain way. Red Wedding hits different. You don't expect that to happen from Walder Frey. You know, the uncle, Edmure Tully, he's just supposed to get married, and then, okay, this is just part of the storyline, and we move on and we do this. Nope. Talisa Stark gets stabbed to death while she's pregnant. Boom, baby gone. Baby's dead. She's dead. Rob Stark, just boom, 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 kill him. And just when you think it can't get any worse, they slit Kat's throat. Fade to black.
Can't get any worse. I hate it.
Fade to black. The Red Wedding was shocking.
Kat got on my nerves so bad.
I mean, the Red Wedding, you got to include it.
You felt bad for Kat getting stabbed?
I liked Kat.
Why?
A lot of people like
the way she put Jon Snow down and made him feel awful about himself and sent him to the Night's Watch.
She thought it was Ned's bastard son.
Releasing Jaime Lannister?
She thought it was Ned's. Well, she was trying to get her daughters.
What did she do that made you like her?
She trusted Tyrion, and she was trying to get her daughters back. And Tyrion's a good man, so he would have made that happen if he could have. But little did she know, Arya had already run off, being the wild Arya that she is, and Sansa had already turned on the family. So, you know.
Who's your number one?
Number one is when Cersei blows up the Sept. That is the greatest scene in the show. When Ramin Djawadi, is that his name, the music guy, when he first introduces that Light of the Seven music, and that episode just starts with that. Season 6, episode 10, the best Game of Thrones episode there is. Cersei finally gets her revenge, just blows everybody up. You got Margaery freaking out. She's like, Cersei knows the consequences of her action, and she's not here anyway, which means she doesn't intend to suffer them. And then, boom.
Spoiler alert.
And then you see Cersei just drinking her wine. And then, not only that, but she gets a revenge right after that against the Shame lady. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So badass when Cersei is walking out of there. Just shame, shame. And Sir Gregor is about to torture that woman.
Yeah, and she thinks that woman's like, thinks she's about to die. She says, oh, no. You're not going to die here today.
You're not going to die today. You're not going to die for a very long time.
All right, not a bad list. I disagree with a couple of them, but it's your list. Well. My list is going to get shredded. I'm fully prepared for it, but this is my list, and it's how I feel, okay? You hear that? No more will I argue with people about my power rankings. I'm just going to link them to this audio. Deal with it. Number five for me, my fifth most favorite scene of the show is, this is going to sound crazy to you, it's Jaime and Brienne taking a bath.
That's not crazy.
When Jaime is sitting there explaining to Brienne how he became the Kingslayer, and you realize Jaime did not kill Targaryen because he wanted power. He killed Aegon Targaryen to save all of King's Landing. He is actually a hero. You finally realize Jaime's not this monster. There's more to Jaime. And it really keeps pushing his narrative of redemption. And everyone says, anyone with half a brain will all admit Jaime Lannister has the best character arc on the show. Right? Jaime goes from the hated villain in episode 1, pushing a boy out the window, to a guy you're rooting for, which is a part of the reason why I hated the loot train scene so much. It just, whatever.
You were kind of rooting for both. That's what they said after the episode, breaking it down.
Yeah.
Like, you really didn't want anyone to die.
Well, that's what I was saying.
And no one did.
It's just, again.
Just move on.
It's a nuanced scene, but it's one of my favorites. Jaime talking to Brienne and really being vulnerable. And then, of course, everyone wants Brienne and Jaime to end up together. Although
they're going
to
bang.
Although maybe some people want Jaime and, or not Jaime, excuse me, but Brienne and Tormund too. Yeah. So I don't know.
Threesome? I'm sure Jaime would be down with it.
Or maybe Jaime versus Tormund. I don't know. Maybe they fight for it. I don't know. So that would be kind of lame, but I love that scene. Number four for me, the Mountain and the Viper. The Mountain and the Viper was a great scene. You have the Viper, you know, taunting him. You raped my sister before you murdered her.
You
say
raped
it.
Her. You murdered her. You raped her. You murdered her.
Say it. And, you know, you have Tyrion right there. You think, oh, he's about to win his freedom. He's about to win his trial by combat. Nope. Nope, he doesn't.
That is a great scene. And that scream from Alaria, right? Yeah. That's her name? So
Mama
good.
Sand Snake,
so
black
good.
Color.
She was so good. Just absolutely terrified.
To me, that was one of the more jaw-dropping moments
just
of the show.
Just a head just...
Yeah. That's my number four. Number three, feel a little vulnerable about this one as well, but it's my third favorite. I had it at two, and then I moved it down. Three, I feel like it's comfortable, but Tyrion's speech while on trial.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Tyrion's speech while he's on trial when he says, I wish to confess. And then, you know, he basically tells Cersei, I didn't kill Joffrey, but I wish I had. I wish I had killed him. Tells the whole city, I saved you. I saved this city and all of your worthless lives. I should have let Stannis kill you. Tywin's like, so you confess? Yes, father, I'm guilty. Is that what you want to hear? You admit you poisoned the king? No, of that I am innocent. I am guilty of far more monstrous crimes of being a dwarf. And then he tells Cersei, like I said, I did not kill Joffrey, but I wish I had. Watching your vicious bastard die gave me more relief than 1,000 lion whores. You know, he's talking about Shay. Take that, Shay.
Yeah. And that's when Shay breaks his heart for the first time, when she comes in and testifies against him.
When he says, I wish I was the monster you think I am. I wish I had enough poison for the whole pack of you. I would gladly give my life to watch you all swallow it. That you, and then at that you have Cersei up there sitting and looking like Cersei, but you have Jaime again just looking like, brother, what are you doing? You're about to die. We had this worked out. You were going to get spared. You were going to get to live. And then you have Tyrion say, you know, I want a
trial by combat.
A trial by combat. I will let the gods determine my fate. I demand a trial by combat. I love that scene.
Almost got him killed.
It almost did. It should have. But I love that part. Number two, Blackwater. Similar reasons as you. You didn't mention this detail, but Cersei getting the poison ready to poison her kids.
To put Tommen down.
To kill him, to save him, basically.
Yep.
Or not to save him, but, you know, give him a painless death. Underrated scene. And she kind of just casually drops it and then tries to stomp on it.
And that whole thing with Sansa, too, was great.
Well, you already mentioned that. I wasn't going to rehash it. But, yeah, you see that that's... You see Cersei and Sansa's relationship kind of going to another level.
Come here, little dove. You're perfect, aren't you?
And number one for me is Cersei blows up everything.
Which oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I agree.
Wow.
I just realized all five of mine are Lannister-oriented.
Makes sense. You don't like Daenerys, but you do like the Starks, so it is a little weird.
Well, I don't feel like Sansa has any jaw-dropping moment. I could have put Arya and some of her kills on it. When her and the Hound are in that little cabin and the Hound keeps saying he wants those chickens.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's pretty good.
That one was up there.
That was the first time she killed someone, right?
Yeah, she gets
she killed the boy with the sword when she first left.
But that's the first time she had started killing somebody, like, you know, basically as a badass, basically.
Right, yeah.
She said, you know, she's fighting side by side with the Hound. That one's close. That was probably in the top 10.
I did feel bad for leaving Arya off. Like, I think her best moment was killing Walder Frey. And then his men.
Sure. That one's good. Maybe should have included it.
Do love Arya.
Jon Snow, there's no real moment that stands out. When the Wildlings attack the wall, that deserves some consideration. I watched that episode last night. I probably should have included Ygritte on my saddest desk, because when she is dying in his arms and... says she should have stayed in the caves. I was like, yeah, you should have.
Pretty sure most people would have Battle of the Bastards on their list. Neither one of us did. So we'll see how that plays out.
People are going to be mad about that one, for sure. People are going to be mad that Hardhome wasn't on there. I'm fully prepared to deal with it. Deal with the repercussions all day in my mentions.
I feel like ours are kind of similar in a way, except I like Dany more than you do.
I almost included her. If I had to put a scene from Dany in my top 10, it would be when she burned all the Dothrakis. That one came close to making my list. She was saying that she wasn't going to go live her life in the place for the widowed Dothraki women, and just knocked over the fire on all of them. That came close to my list.
Jon Snow's death?
No.
Me neither.
I mean, a nice scene, I guess.
Ned Stark death.
Yeah. The Ned Stark, I wasn't invested enough in Ned at that point. The show was too early. I mean, it was a great jaw-dropping moment. Don't get me wrong, right? And it kind of set the scene for what Game of Thrones was going to be. But did you know that? Like, that actually slowed momentum down for them. A lot of people didn't like that scene. A lot of people was slow to come back for season two because of it. It wasn't like some big hit that got people in there and, you know, wanting to watch more. It actually was like, wait, that's the guy we care the most about. You just killed the best character.
I remember when I first saw it and, like, knew nothing about Spoiler the alert. Show. Knew nothing about the show. I was like, they just killed off the protagonist of the show.
Right.
Which is what you're supposed to think. But it's like, you know, you don't expect it, really.
That one's going to be on there. There's a lot of scenes to choose from. I just went with my five most impactful.
Yeah. I like your list.
Thank you.
We'll see if everyone else does.
No, they're not going to. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program. Just put my list out. We'll see how it goes.
People are going to be mad. But that's okay.
I just preemptively went with, before you reply, with so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. No, they're not on my list. Hopefully this takes down on the replies I'm going to get asking about them. But if I know Twitter, that'll just make more people want to ask about that just to be jerks.
Red Wedding? Question mark?
Yeah, no. It's not on there. Nope.
Do you see it?
Top of the leaderboard in the Masters, Bryson DeChambeau, 1-under through three holes, 7-under for the tournament. Brooks Koepka comes out first hole, birdie. That damn Brooks Koepka. 1-under on the day, 7-under for the tournament. Phil also with a early birdie to keep pace and stay one back.
Early birdie gets the worm.
Let's see. So far, I mean, I guess, who's on the course today that's, I mean, is there anybody going back? I guess Dustin Johnson. Dustin Johnson's dropped a shot through three holes. He's with someone right there, you know, two shots behind the leaders. They go one shot under early. He goes one shot over, which means that he is obviously four shots back. My guy, Francesco Molinari, with an early birdie. Four back. Spieth bogeyed his first hole. Good. 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 I hope Spieth bogeys all of the holes. So we got the coverage earlier today, huh? They're not making us wait until 3 o'clock today. They are actually putting it up on ESPN now, so good for that.
I wonder what was going on.
Is this highlights or no? Okay. So not constant. Oh, okay, never mind. So they're just doing some look-ins. Where's Brooks Koepka hitting it out of the woods?
Why can we not get live coverage?
Is it just the Masters being weird? They want you to go to CBSSports.com or go to their Masters app and all that. Who are the featured groups today, Parker? Do we have the featured groups? Kisner. Kuchar. Is it Kuchar? I always say Kuchar. Kuchar.
I think it's Kuchar.
It is. I've seen Phil and Rose on there. Phil and Rose. Rose off to a good start today, right? I mean, he's so far back, but he's making a push to at least get on the right side of the cut line. He's 2-under through two holes, one back of, I guess, one over par. That'd make him 8 back, but I like Justin Rose, so maybe he can make some type of push.
Is it raining down there?
I figured it might come close just because, you know, it's raining here. I assumed it means it's sort of kind of close to raining in Georgia, all of Georgia right here.
It looks like at Amen Corner, people have umbrellas. So typically when people have umbrellas, that would signify that there's some rain. It's pretty sunny. Maybe that was from earlier this morning or something. I don't know. I'm trying to go to CBSSports.com right now and watch. I guess you can watch on CBSSports.com.
So we'll keep you updated on the Masters leaderboard. As I guess it's good. It's good for early viewing that you have these guys out here on the course early. I do say that you do run the risk of them running away with it, though. Like if Koepka comes out and DeChambeau come out and they both go 5-under again today or something like that to go double digits, and by the time someone like Tiger is teeing off and really getting into his round, he's already 8 shots back, you do run the risk of maybe turning some people off, or maybe that makes Tiger go more aggressive and he's birdie hunting all day. Maybe it puts more pressure on him in a good way. I don't know.
Yeah, Koepka's 1-under through one. So he just started.
Yeah, we'll see if he fades like you projected.
He'll fade.
I think the guy's a machine. So I do, like, is there going to be an effect if he comes out and goes low again and through, like, 11 holes he's already, like, 4-under and you're looking and saying, man, he might run away with this thing? Although, as we talk, he just double bogeyed the second hole.
I'm watching Phil right now, man. Phil's on his game.
Wow, Cody might have been accurate. Cody said Brooks is going to fade, and as he's saying that, Brooks Koepka double bogeyed.
Yep,
his second hole.
He's now one over today.
Two back.
Goodbye, Brooks. Phil moves into second.
Are you rooting for Phil? It sounds like you're rooting for Phil.
Rooting for Phil right now until Tiger tees off. Then I'm rooting for Tiger.
I don't really like Phil.
I like old guys. That's what I've discovered about my sports takes. I like the veterans. I like the guys that have been around a long time.
I do appreciate Phil Moore the older he gets. I didn't like him when I used to, you know, back whenever it was kind of, they tried to make it him versus Tiger in Tiger's peak. And like I said, all of my friends, old white dads, all were Team Phil.
Yeah.
All rooted against Tiger. All of us rooted for Tiger. All of the old white dads rooted against Tiger and for Phil. Maybe that's where my hatred of Phil came from. Plus, I heard he's a jerk is what I was told.
He probably is. It's just that, I don't know, the older I've gotten, I just appreciate.
They're all probably jerks, honestly.
I appreciate the names that are still around.
Sure.
You know, like the guys you grow up watching. And I think that's part of the reason why I don't like Tom Brady, but like I can appreciate Tom Brady. Brady, LeBron, and then guys like Tiger and Phil. I don't know. Grew up watching them. You know, I just don't want to see them go away, I think, is the thing. Although as my good friend Kyburn once said, Grandmaster, you don't deserve to die alone in such a cold, dark place, but sometimes before we can usher in the new, we have to get rid of the old.
Yeah, just like that.
Yeah.
Precisely.
It's kind of the same thing.
We'll keep an eye on the Masters leaderboard throughout the rest of the day. Brooks Koepka giving a little more interest to the game.
I hate Brooks Koepka.
To the tournament. Game, match, tournament. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program. Hey, so far this Power Rankings hasn't gotten lit up on the internet. Shout out to me. Do people like yours?
Yeah, so far. I didn't realize how many people were going to agree with Cersei blowing up the sept as being the best scene of the show.
Really? I thought that was a no-brain number one. Do you think you were coming out with a hot take?
I didn't really think it was a hot take, but I thought a lot of people would not agree with that. I mean, for me, it's a clear number one. And clearly for you, too. I did not know it was going to be that clear.
Which of these NBA playoff series are you looking the most forward to in round one? In the West, we got Warriors-Clippers, Nuggets-Spurs, Portland-Oklahoma City, Rockets-Jazz.
Nuggets-Spurs.
In the East, we got Bucks-Pistons, Raptors-Magic, Sixers-Nets, Celtics-Pacers. Are you looking forward to any of them? Do any of them interest you?
Can you name them again?
No.
Can you name the East again?
Bucks-Pistons.
Nah.
Giannis versus Blake Griffin.
Nah.
Raptors Magic, 76ers Nets, Celtics Pacers.
I guess Celtics Pacers.
Yeah, I'm going to say the East first round is not very good. But I think it's because you have a clear-cut top four teams and then a very clearly defined second tier. Like the Pacers, they hung around for a while. They deserve a lot of credit, but they were on fumes at the end of their season. And now they have to go to Boston, whereas for the longest it looked like they would have home court advantage. If the Pacers have had home court advantage, that might be an interesting series. Maybe with no Marcus Smart, you know, that's a big loss for the Celtics. Marcus Smart is kind of their motor. He's their swagger. He's their confidence. He's their toughness. He's out for the first two rounds. Honestly, without him, I don't think the Celtics get past the second round, but I do think they have enough to get past the Celtics. Although I am interested in seeing what playoff Kyrie can do, because they've all kept saying, hey, just wait till the playoffs. Hey, just wait till the playoffs. Wait till the playoffs. Wait till the playoffs.
There we are.
Playoffs are here. Now what you going to do?
Now you got to show up. Got to perform.
So that series is interesting in that regard. Of just can't, you know, we asked the question in hour one, can the Warriors flip the switch? Another question is, can the Celtics flip the playoff switch? Last year, Jason Tatum was awesome in the playoffs, in part because Kyrie Irving was gone. Can Jason Tatum get back to that, or is he just going to continue to be a role player and not the superstar that everyone, you know, kind of crowned him as after last year's playoffs? Year two for him has been a little disappointing. It's been a microcosm of the entire Celtics season of, man, it's frustrating. You're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. Everyone left the playoffs last year thinking Jason Tatum was ready to ascend to being a top 20 player and to show that, hey, I am the best young prospect in the league. Not as many people feel that way this year. But it's the playoffs. Can he show out again? Can the Celtics flip that switch? Pacers, like, I really don't think you could name any players on the Pacers right now without Victor Oladipo.
Ah, damn it, that was gonna be the one I would give.
Well, I mean, he tore his knee up, so I mean, he hasn't played the whole second half of the year. Yeah, I really,
no,
you might
no
be,
Paul George.
You might be able to get one. You might be able to get one. Don't it, tell him. Don't ruin the game,
the
Parker.
Guy who...
We asked Parker to get a stick to come up with a segment, and his segment's just ruined this segment. Don't give him the answer.
It was the guy who was good last year with Oladipo in the playoffs, right?
Okay.
I know who that guy is. I remember that guy.
All of those guys are still there from last year in the playoffs.
There was a guy who, along with Oladipo, was good.
You're not
in the
helping
playoffs.
Him, Ben.
I can't give him a hint.
They almost beat the Cavs.
They took the Cavs to game seven.
They should have beaten the Cavs.
Probably should have beaten them.
Who was that guy?
Who was it?
A hint would be good.
Nah, I think you could do it.
I think I could get it with a hint.
Let's see if you can get it without a hint.
I don't think I can get it without a hint.
So you concede that you cannot name one Indiana Pacers
no,
player?
No, not necessarily.
Because we'll give you partial credit if Ben gives you a hint.
I don't know how good Ben's hint will be.
I mean, yeah. I mean, you, but
is it
you
a good hint?
Think Rick.
Not yet. We don't need the hint yet, Ben. Do either of you guys listen? Just relax.
I didn't know we were in.
Tranquilo. Tranquilo.
What?
Tranquilo.
Okay, it was Victor Oladipo and... Yeah, I think I need the hint.
All right, so we're going partial credit. Let's see what Ben's hint is.
Think Rick Barnes, former player.
That's the guy
LaMarcus
I thought you might
Aldridge.
Be able to get. Who?
LaMarcus Aldridge. Think Rick Barnes. Does that mean he played at Texas?
Yes.
It does.
He didn't play at Tennessee.
Not Kevin Durant.
No. No, not Kevin Durant. Let's see if you can name enough Rick Barnes Texas players. You might be able to get to this answer.
I don't. I really don't think I can. How about another hint?
Okay.
Can I get some initials? MT.
It was Rick Barnes' last good player.
Miles.
Yeah.
Turner.
Yeah. All right. Good job.
I don't know how I even knew that.
Yeah, that's pitiful.
30% credit.
But I think
so. I got one.
But you get 30%. Just so we don't have to put the grade book at zero to not kill your average completely, we'll give you a 30%.
I never would have remembered that without the hints.
I think a lot of people are going to find themselves in similar situations when they watch the Pacers and Celtics in the playoffs. You don't know anybody. I mean, they got the Sabonises. They got Sabonis.
I've heard of Sabonis.
Doug McDermott is out there now, and Dirk McDermott's turned himself into actually a pretty good basketball player.
I would have got Victor Oladipo.
Yeah, I mean, he's gone though. That's a problem. Yeah. They don't. If they had Victor Oladipo, they probably beat the Celtics. Without Victor Oladipo, I don't think they're going to. But the Pacers play really good defense. They are the best scoring defense in the league. They are 22-1 when they hold their opponents to 97 points or lower. So that'll be their key, is can we stop the Celtics from scoring?
Do you think there's an NBA team that you can't name five players on?
Me?
Yeah.
No. Do you think there's an NBA team that, besides the Warriors, that you can name five players
on? The Lakers.
On?
The Lakers.
Okay, besides the Warriors and the Lakers?
Yeah, probably. Sixers, maybe.
Yeah, you should probably be able to get all
Embiid, Simmons.
You should be able to get all the Sixers starting five, but I would be willing to bet a lot of money you can't get number six.
Probably not. I think you have too much confidence that I can get all
five. I don't know
five.
That he could get past the top four.
He can get the top five is – you should be able to get the top five.
I'd get Simmons, Embiid, Tobias, and who's the younger guy? Came out of the draft.
If you're thinking younger, you're going the wrong way.
Yeah, you think so?
You're thinking Markelle Fultz.
That is who I'm thinking.
They traded him.
Yeah, so he's gone.
He's gone.
So Embiid, Simmons.
Tobias. You got Tobias.
I got three.
He can't even get the main fourth.
Yeah, I think I can. I just not off. Oof. I don't know off the top of my head. We've talked about him a lot, I'm sure.
Would something as simple as name a Pacers player outside of Victor Oladipo or name five Philadelphia 76ers before the playoffs start, would that be something that goes on like that sports test I keep talking about writing up for Cody? I mean, the bare minimum of doing this?
I could pass the test.
Well, I know, but this would be one of the questions you got wrong.
It just depends on what you want your angle to be. Like, obviously, our show talks more NBA, so it probably should be on there.
I mean, I feel like even if you don't talk NBA, you should be able to name the starting five of the Philadelphia 76ers. It's not like I'm asking you to name the starting five of the Brooklyn Nets.
I don't think the average guy could even name three Sixers.
I legitimately
strongly disagree with that. The average guy can name three, and you didn't even get one of the obvious three.
I legitimately don't know the other – I don't know the fifth. I only know the fourth.
I really don't think the average
You don't know
guy,
the fifth either?
I really don't think the average sports fan
the
in Tennessee –
The average sports fan knows Embiid, Simmons, and Jimmy Butler.
Oh, yeah, Jimmy Butler from Minnesota. Yeah. I just forgot he came from Minnesota.
They know those three.
I forgot about Jimmy Butler. I know Jimmy Butler.
Tobias just got traded there, and I feel like most people probably know J.J. Redick still there.
All right, let's try another team. Celtics.
Let's go with the Nets. Let's go with the Brooklyn Nets.
I don't know the team anyone
playing,
on the Nets.
The team playing the Philadelphia 76ers.
I don't know anyone who – Jason Kidd.
Let's go with the Brooklyn Nets.
I don't know anyone
who just traded Kenneth Faried.
Kenneth Faried no longer there.
I do not know anyone on the Nets.
Brooke Lopez is not there. Oh, my God. I thought Parker at least had some base knowledge of the NBA. And he
give me a team that matters.
I mean, the Nets, 76ers. That's the next playoff series we were going to talk about.
How about the Celtics? How many Celtics you think I can get? Two. I get more than two.
I think you
Marcus
could.
Marcus Smart, Al Horford, Kyrie.
I was going to say, I think you could get at least. You should be able to get at least four. The fifth one I think you're going to struggle with.
Marcus Smart, Al Horford, Kyrie, and then those two young guys that were good last year.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We just talked about problems in the locker room.
I literally just said their name like
Yeah, you probably did.
You should probably be able to get at least six Celtics.
Yeah, I probably could have last year talking during the playoffs. Yeah. I got three pretty quickly.
That's good. You got three. One we just talked about with Marcus Smart.
Two of those young guys have the same first name.
That's
right?
Yep.
Yeah.
They spell it.
I just can't think of it.
They spell it differently, but they have the same name.
I know who it is.
This is my fault for trying to do NBA playoff coverage.
I know who it is. I just can't think of it.
Although this might be great radio. I don't know.
Maybe, I don't think
maybe people are riding around in their car, like screaming at the radio, Jason.
Oh, yeah, Jason Tatum.
I was thinking his name was Jalen Tatum for a second. No, Jason and Jalen. Not the same name.
Jalen Brown. Jason Tatum and Jalen Brown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I said same name, not same name. Same
basically.
Beginning sound, J.
Same, yeah, basically the same.
Gordon Hayward.
He's the guy that messed up his leg really
Yeah,
bad.
His wife hates him for playing video games.
She should. She should.
He's looking good right now.
Good thing he didn't ask me the Lakers.
How pathetic is my life?
A
I'm
lot of
sitting
Lakers.
Here watching you play video games. Well, the problem for you and maybe the NBA is that the Lakers aren't in the playoffs now.
Yeah, it is a problem.
You keep saying you can name a lot of Lakers. How many can you name?
How many do you think I can name?
You say a lot, so can you get to eight?
LeBron.
Let's see if you can get to eight, because you keep bluffing saying you can name a lot.
LeBron, Rondo, Stevenson, JaVale McGee, Kuzma, Lonzo. And who's the other young guy?
He's out of steam. He's at six.
Damn it. Kuzma, Lonzo, and Brandon Ingram.
Can you get this eighth
seven.
One?
Seven.
You got to get the eighth one.
The eighth one? I doubt I can get to the eighth one.
Seven's pretty good.
With a hint, maybe.
Big, tall, lanky guy.
Is that the guy that got the bad contract?
No.
No. Big, tall, lanky guy. I don't know.
JaVale McGee. I don't know if you can get
I said him. JaVale McGee.
Oh, you already said JaVale. Yeah. Oh, sorry. You got like 10 seconds. Do you think you can name anybody?
No. I got seven's probably going to wear it. Well, we're going to cap it at the Lakers.
Recently, the Caruso guy from Texas A&M's been dunking on everybody.
Never would have got that guy.
Contavious, Caldwell Pope, maybe. Yeah. I could have gotten him.
I know with the Mavs, you got a lot of foreign guys.
You got two.
Dirk,
you got,
Doncic.
You got three big white foreign guys.
Dirk, Luka, and then the other one.
Look at that.
Porzingis.
Look at the big brain on Cody.
Yeah.
You got three Dallas Mavericks players.
There
Look at
go.
The big brain.
There we go. Nuggets?
Yes.
No Nuggets.
That's a problem that you couldn't name half of the any players on half of the Eastern Conference playoff teams. Hour two in the books, hour three on deck. Stick with us.